Good morning.
It is such a privilege and pleasure to be here with you today. I am so thankful to my good friend Clint for asking me to be here in his stead. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tim Sells, Timothy Sells. I'm from the Impact Houston Church of Christ. I'm one of the ministers there. And it's such a pleasure to be here today. And also, I just want to acknowledge the Westview Church for your years of dedicated service, not only in this community, but also with us in First Ward at the Impact Church. You have been one of our biggest supporters and donors and volunteers, and we just greatly appreciate you so very much. I would be remiss if I did not say that. And so I just want to speak with you for a few moments. Let me set my timer because I'm known to be a little long, so I'm put a timer on myself today. Did I hear somebody say amen? Yeah. Let me time myself. All right, there we go. So this morning I want to speak with you from the topic "For Such a Time as This." And so let's read once again Esther chapter 4, and this time we'll read from verses 14 through verse number 16, and then we will begin with our lesson. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." The story of Esther is one of courage and providence. Facing the potential annihilation of her people, Esther stands at a crossroads. To take a bold risk to save others, or to remain silent and let someone else act. You see, during the time of Esther, during the time of the reign of the Persian Empire, who after Babylon, then the Jews there who were in Babylon, they came under the Persian Empire. And so now you have King Xerxes of Persia, who is the king there. And Esther is a Jewess. She is a Jewish woman who becomes the queen. And it is not known throughout the kingdom that Esther is a Jew, but she is a Jew, and her cousin who raised her as his own daughter, Mordecai, he sends word to Esther about this plot that Haman had against Mordecai, but not only against Mordecai, but against the Jews. His plan was to get rid of the Jews. He did not like them. He did not like Mordecai because Mordecai did not respect his authority. And so he wanted to get rid of Mordecai, and he wanted to get rid of all the Jews. And so he enacts this plot to exterminate the Jews. And it comes to the knowledge of Mordecai that Haman is plotting against the Jews. And so he sends word to the palace, to Esther, his cousin, and he tells her that, "Esther, you have to do something about this. Because if you don't do it, then we might all perish, or perhaps God might use someone else. But you need to use your position to fix this problem." And Esther is afraid. She is fearful because she understands that under no circumstance is anyone to approach the king without permission. In fact, the king had not sent for her for about 30 days, for about a month now. She has not been in the presence of the king, and so she is fearful. And it is at this point that Mordecai sends word back to Esther, and he tells her that if you remain silent, then relief and deliverance will come. But it's probably going to come from somewhere else, and you and your whole father's house might perish. But Esther, I want you to think about something even greater than that. Perhaps God has, in his providence, placed you in this place for this time and for this purpose. Perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Let me take you back to the year 1947, when a 29-year-old corporal named Desmond Doss stood at a similar crossroad as did Esther. Doss was a devout Christian and a conscientious objector during World War II. He refused to carry a weapon, yet he enlisted in the U.S. Army as a medic, determined to save lives rather than take them. When his unit faced fierce combat on Hacksaw Ridge in Okinawa, Japan, Doss' courage was tested. As his fellow soldiers retreated, he stayed behind, risking his life to rescue about 75 wounded men, one by one, luring them to safety under relentless enemy fire. When asked later why he stayed, Doss simply said, "Because I couldn't just sit by and do nothing. Those men needed me. Those men needed me." Like Esther, Corporal Doss recognized that he was placed in that specific time and situation to make a difference. His courage and faith earned him a Medal of Honor, becoming a symbol of what it means to act boldly when others might retreat. Like Desmond Doss on Hacksaw Ridge and Esther in the Persian court, the church at large and the West Shoe congregation in particular must decide whether to step forward in faith and take risks for the development of God's kingdom or remain silent and let opportunity pass. This church is uniquely placed to make an impact in this community for such a time as this. Today, we want to examine Esther chapter 4, verse 14, to understand how God's providence, courage, and action can transform a moment of crisis into a moment of calling. Let us embrace this moment, not just as Esther and Desmond did, but and fulfill God's purpose and plan for this church and the surrounding community. The first point that I want to share with you is that we recognize God's sovereign placement. The text says, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther was placed in her position by God's providence, not by chance. Similarly, this church and each individual in it is located and positioned where you are for a purpose and perhaps even on purpose. For Scripture declares that it is God who sets and determines the times and places where people should inhabit that they might seek him. That's in the book of Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 27. Genesis 50, verse number 20. Joseph recognizes God's providence in his suffering. He says that God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 7. Jews there who are in Babylon, they are called to seek the welfare of the city. Notice, where I have sent you. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14 through verse number 16. The disciples are called to be a city on a hill. They are called to be a city on a hill, not a light that is under a bowl. Called to shine in the community where they existed. And like them, we are called to shine. We are called to stand up like a city on a hill that can be seen from miles around. The challenge is this: that we must recognize that God has placed each church in its neighborhood to be a light to its community. Like Esther, as the church, we cannot abandon our purpose out of fear or complacency. Let us recognize God's sovereign placement. We are here for a purpose, and we are here on purpose. Number two, embrace courage over fear. Notice what the text says in verse 14. If you keep silent, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Esther faced fear, but chose courage. As the church of God, we must be willing to take bold action, even if it feels risky or unfamiliar. She understood that if my people are going to be saved from this atrocity, I have to take bold action. I can't stand aside and think that I'm going to be safe, play it safe, because I'm afraid of the king, of what he might do. No, if my people are going to be saved, I have to step up, I have to stand out, and I must take bold action. Notice Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. God tells Joshua, as he has been appointed as Moses' replacement, and he is about to lead Israel into the promised land, beginning with Jericho, God tells him, "You be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you." He says, "Wherever you set your foot, I will be with you, but you be strong and you be courageous, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Isaiah 41, verse number 10. God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. Paul tells Timothy, his son in the gospel, he says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. We're able to control our fears. We are able to move beyond our fears where it may seem risky. It may feel unfamiliar. It may feel unsafe. But God, sometimes he calls us to move beyond those things and to act with faith and with courage. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that faith requires to step out and trust in God. The challenge is this. It is time that we move past fear of change and discomfort. As the Church of Christ, we boldly step into God's calling, trusting his provision and his faithfulness. Number three, and lastly, take action to fulfill God's purpose. Notice what the text says in verse number 16 of Esther 4. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther decided to act decisively and sacrificially. Similarly, as a body of believers in Messiah Jesus, we must act on our calling with faith and commitment. When she realized that God had placed her in that position for that time and that purpose, she decided to not allow her fear of going into the king, and it might mean her death. But she said, I'm going to do what needs to be done. Though the king might have my head for it, because it is against the law for anyone, even the queen, to come before the king without being summoned. And if he refuses to hold out the golden scepter to me, then that's my end. But if I perish, I'm going to die standing on my feet instead of cowering in a corner. I'm going to move in faith and in confidence and in obedience. And if that means my death, if I perish, I perish. In Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah challenges the people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem despite the opposition. Because Nehemiah understood that if the walls are not rebuilt, not only does the city lie unprotected, but this says something about our God. You see, a city that did not have walls surrounding it during that time says something about the God of that city. And so for the walls of Jerusalem to be in disrepair, it said that their God was not powerful enough to protect them. And so Nehemiah encourages the people, I don't care what opposition you face, you stand up on this wall and you rebuild it. You build with one hand and you have a sword in the other hand. Be ready to build and to fight. Be ready to fight and to build, because the name of our God is at stake. And so we move in confidence. We move despite opposition that may come from friends or family or neighbors or community. It doesn't matter where the opposition comes from, we move in faith. Because the name of our God is on the line. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath. David took action against this giant, this Philistine giant, not in his own power, not trusting in his own strength, but relying on the power of Almighty God. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who is roaring against the armies of our God? You see, David wasn't indignant because he was roaring against them. No, you're roaring against our God. And I stand in faith and in opposition to you on the name of our God. And we will be victorious because of the name of our God. In church, I'm here to tell you that we are victorious because of the name of our God. And so we move in boldness and in confidence despite whatever obstacle that we might face. Romans chapter 12, we know this passage very, very good. We're very familiar with this. Paul tells the church there at Rome that they should offer themselves as living sacrifices, transformed to act on God's will. The challenge is this. The church cannot get stuck in old ways. Bold, faithful action is necessary to reach our communities, our families, our friends, and our neighbors, thus fulfilling the purpose of the church. In conclusion, I want to call us to reflect. Are we the body of Christ? Are we, as the body of Christ, willing to recognize and accept our divine placement, embrace courage, and take action for the kingdom of God? If not now, when? If not us, then who? God's providence has not abandoned his church. He has placed the church here for this time. By trusting in God and acting boldly, the church can thrive and be a beacon in the darkness of this world and a blessing in our communities. Philippians 4, verse number 13 tells us this. Paul says that I have learned how to be content in every situation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Church, I thank God for you. Thank God for your years of service. And I pray that you would move with boldness and courage and continue to move forward and go forth in the mission that began here. And that you would use God's power and God's wisdom and be encouraged in your ministry and walk in faith. Let us pray. Holy Father, we come to you at this time. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love and mercy. Father, we pray that as Esther was positioned for that time, that you will position us for this time, that we will allow you to work in us. As you told Joshua to be strong and very courageous, may you give us spirit of strength, spirit of courage to move, to act, to live, to be the people that you've called us to. We thank you and we bless you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us stand, let us sing.